final case this morning is 21-2150, again ABC Corporation versus Partnership and Unincorporated Associations. Mr. Cheng, no need to repeat the ground that we've already gone over. Why don't you limit yourself to anything that's specific about this case?
Yes, Your Honor. So the first issue I'd like to talk about is whether this court has appellate jurisdiction over this appeal. The Federal Circuit applies own rules in determining personal jurisdictions.
Is this based on the fact that the notice of appeal identifies the injunction as the appealable order rather than the denial of the motion to vacate?
Yes, Your Honor. So the reason that Defendant Gaoxiong could not have appealed the 2020 preliminary injunction order is because when the 2020 preliminary injunction order was entered, defendant was not part of the schedule.
I thought you were addressing a different point. The appellee here argues that your notice of appeal wasn't adequate because it identifies the 2020 injunction as the appealed order rather than the denial of the motion to vacate. Adding them as a party.
So the order allowing plaintiff to amend the Schedule A effectively added defendant Gaoxiong, effectively converted Gaoxiong from a third party that was enjoined by plaintiff's extrajudicial enforcement of the preliminary injunction to a defendant that is bound by the 2020 preliminary injunction order that received no service or process.
Okay, what other points do you have about this case that are different from the others?
So the case is different in the sense that put aside that the November 2020 preliminary injunction order was entered ex parte. After the 2020 preliminary injunction order was entered, plaintiff thought enforcement of the ex parte preliminary injunction other third parties who were allegedly identified as affiliates to named defendants. And this enforcement was done without a notice to those third parties, and that this enforcement was done without a separate district court order. So this is an extrajudicial enforcement of this ex parte preliminary injunction based on plaintiff's own determination, which entity can be considered as the third party that affiliates to the named defendant or the parties in active consortium participation with the named defendant. And that is a violation of Rule 65(b)(2). And according to the Seventh Circuit rule, predetermination of what party can be considered as parties that are in active consortium participation with the named defendant is forbidden to enjoin a third party.
The Lakeside case holds that if you're going to add third parties, you have to give them notice and opportunity to be heard, right?
Exactly, Your Honor. So without giving them a notice and affording them a chance to be heard, defendants' enforcement of the preliminary injunction on third party without providing them a notice, without asking the district court for a separate order to enjoin those third party violates their due process rights
There's no appeal here from any enforcement order. The only appeal is from the application of the injunction.
Because the enforcement was done extrajudicially by plaintiff itself. So plaintiff, after receiving the injunction,
not before us? How's that before us? We didn't have a record about that, right?
Your Honor, actually, that was admitted by Plaintiff Fan in the motion for preliminary injunction. If I may direct your attention
What do you want us to do? I mean, you want us to set aside the 2020 injunction. You want to say that Gao U.S. was improperly added as a party. What else do you want us to do?
That at the same time when this defendant was added, was converted from a third party to defendant, the defendant was automatically restrained and included in the November 2020 preliminary injunction order. And that is a violation of defendant's due process rights.
Okay, but if we were to hold that they were improperly added in violation of Rule 65 in the Lakeside case, that gives you the relief you asked for, right?
Essentially, yes, Your Honor. But to add on that, there's a violation of 65D1, and because of the preliminary injunction incorporated Schedule A by reference, any newly added defendant to Schedule A was automatically received the preliminary injunction on them. And this should not be permitted because, as the Supreme Court recognized, to exercise power over a defendant, there has to be service of process. And that recognized by the district court, when the third party was converted into a Schedule A defendant, there has not been any service of process. And the whole issue is created by the incorporation of reference to Schedule A, and plaintiff simply amended Schedule A to add new parties, and at the same time, the new parties were subjected to the preliminary injunction order. Instead of asking for modification of the preliminary injunction order, so they gained a secret channel of adding new defendants into the case without serving them process, without sending them proper notice, and that's the violation of the Rule 65D, and if they were considered as defendant, then they received no notice. So that's a violation of Rule 65A.
Okay, I think we have your argument. Anything more to be said?
No, Your Honor, that concludes my opening.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berkowitz?
May it again, please support. The reason this the May 2021 order was entered was primarily to formally add these defendants to the case so that they could be pursued in discovery with respect to damages, etc. They were already bound by the 2020.
Okay, but the question, you're not addressing the issue here. The question is whether the order adding Gao U.S. To the case should be set aside.
When you say the order adding Jarver U.S. was originally named in this case from the beginning. They were in the initial complaint and from the very start. The particular defendant in this appeal, which is Gao Dusheng, they sat on the sidelines and they waited until this particular order was entered and immediately appealed it. They certainly had notice of it. There had been communications between counsel.
Wait a minute. You said Gao U.S. has been a party to this case from the beginning? I'm very confused by that. Is that
sure? True?
I don't think that's right.
Sure. Jaiwar U.S.
No, but we're talking about Gao U.S. Not Jaiwar.
This is the defendant in this particular appeal that we're talking about right now is Gao Dusheng.
Yes.
Gao U.S. They were added to the case by the amendment to Schedule A.
Correct. And it was a notice motion. Prior to that time, counsel for Gao Dusheng U.S. was aware of the proceedings. There had been discussions between counsel. They had refused to accept service. So they were certainly aware of the motion being filed.
I want to interrupt you for a minute. There are some documents that you referenced in your red brief to try to support this, including emails and other things. But those have never been provided to us. They weren't included in an appendix. Nobody engaged in motions practice for us to consider those documents or anything. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these documents that are identified to us, but that are, I can't even get them off the docket in the case below because they're under seal.
Well, at least some of them, I believe, are in the appendix. I mean, if you, appendix 5905.
We don't have a 5905, I think.
They're not in the
appendix. We don't have those documents.
The last page of the appendix, at least in my version, is 5902. And then I think you separately have made reference, which I think your red brief acknowledged, to things that are just never part of the record at all. Some emails in early-ish May, mid-May.
And to be clear, we don't have 5904, we don't have 5428.
But in any event, emails can't be compliance with Rule 65. I would assume that you're not contending that they could be. I mean, Rule 65 requires formal notice. And
right.
The way the Third Circuit in Lakeside said that to bring somebody in as an affiliate and add it as a party, you have to give notice and opportunity to be heard. That never happened here, right?
Oh. They were being added here as defendants in the action, so they were thereafter served as defendants.
No, I'm not understanding your answer. They were added to Appendix A, Schedule A, and they weren't given notice and opportunity to be heard as to whether they could be covered as an affiliate, right?
Yes or no. Only through counsel at that point.
By emails.
Yes, they had actually approached.
But the emails didn't give them notice and opportunity to be heard. Didn't tell them about the opportunity to oppose the motion to add them to the case.
I mean, they were certainly aware of it through counsel, and I understand the court's concern with that. But you know, as we see that, you know, to the extent that they would have appeared and not simply just gone straight to appeal, but had they filed a motion, what would have happened was, as we saw, that court and plaintiffs said, you know, let's repeat the process and have a new preliminary injunction hearing so that there's no question.
Well, how would it be that this order adding them to the case could stand when, in contrary to the Third Circuit's decision in Lakeside, they didn't have notice and opportunity to be heard?
But for the purpose, though, of adding them as a defendant, that is the proper procedure. You would then go from there to serve, you know, to serve the summons and complaint on those defendants and complete that formal process. Because again, this appendix was also the appendix to the third amended complaint, which was the operative complaint at the time. So that was really the only way to add them as defendants.
All right. Anything further?
Our position is that this particular order didn't create jurisdiction for this court because it didn't really change the party's legal positions. It was already established before then that Codashang U.S. was an affiliate of Gyro U.S. That was never really disputed. And as far as the products were probably similar to those that had been previously enjoined and that are identified in the schedule attached to the third amended complaint. That's all.
Okay, anything more?
No, nothing else.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cheng, you have anything further to add?
Your Honor, I just want to briefly address one issue that was pointed out by the plaintiff's counsel. He said that the defendant should be restrained before that they can be served with process, and that is a complete erroneous understanding of the server procedure. No parties, no defendant should be restrained by the preliminary injunction order before service of process can be effectuated on this individual, on this defendant. And that is also recognized by the district court in this case. When the defendant was added, the court ordered plaintiff to serve process on this defendant. So without service of process, there cannot be a preliminary injunction order that restrains the defendant, and that is a violation of both service of process and also a violation of the Rule 65A notice requirements.
Okay, thank you. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.